Good morning, Freedom House. Feels good in the house today, doesn't it? Can y'all hear me well enough? I didn't know if y'all, everybody can hear me well enough? Okay, cool. I didn't know if I should give this, but I'm going to go ahead and give this. I felt today, this morning, I really feel like the Lord is doing a work of restoration. And in Job, it talks about a tree that has been cut down, that if it smells water nearby, there's hope for that tree to bring life again. And I believe that, I don't know if there's somebody here that may have lost hope or felt like they were cut down in life or cut down in a circumstance or in a situation, and there's just no hope for that situation. But I want to tell you today that the Lord is bringing the fragrance from his presence of new life that will cause that thing that seemed to be cut down to come to bud again. Okay? Amen. I want to read a little bit about, kind of pick up with, where, y'all may be seated, sorry. Kind of pick up on some of the thoughts that I was just, some of the things I was just kind of thinking on over the last week. And it has to do with where Pastor Mike had mentioned. You know, one of the verses that he mentioned in Matthew was, where Jesus said, and I'll go ahead and read the scripture just so we can, Matthew 12, I believe it's 32, or 30. It says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And it got me to thinking about harvest, because what do you gather? You're gathering a harvest. What do you scatter? He's scattering seed, right? In the parable of the sower, it's seed that he's scattering, but it's a harvest that he's bringing in. And it just got me to thinking about what Jesus thinks about. What's his desire? What's his dream? He came to the earth to reveal the Father, and he says that in Matthew 11. He says, no one knows the Father but the Son, and to whomsoever he reveals him. In John 17, when he's praying to the Father at the end of his life, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying things that are just these key words. Father, I revealed your name to them. The words that you gave me, I spoke to them. And it was his purpose to not only bring redemption through the death, through the cross and through the resurrection, but it was his purpose to reveal to the earth the Father's heart. And so everything that he did was in connection with heaven. He was totally aware of heaven's priorities, heaven's heart. So much so that he said, whatever the Father is saying, that's what I said. How many know he's not saying that I just quote scripture all day? He's connected with the Father's heart, and he approaches life from that perspective. He approaches problems that were brought to him from the perspective of heaven, heaven's solution. How many know the thing that you're most aware of is what you're going to host? So if I'm hosting the anxiety of what's going on, this problem that I have, or the circumstances that comes up, and it does come up, right? If that's what I'm focused on, then the anxiety is what I'm going to give room to. The anxiety is what I'm going to give my, if we can just say, house here to. And I'm going to host that anxiety until I shift focus. I think that's one of the reasons why in 2 Corinthians it's said, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted. I would have thought that God removes the veil, and then somebody can turn to the Lord. But it's when we turn aside that we begin to see. So what we're most aware of is what we'll give host to. There's some things in Scripture that I get, we read and maybe we read over, and then one of the Scriptures that I get from that is John, in John 1, I believe it is, where Jesus, John 1, I like the account of when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, because he adds this little phrase in there. He says, and he remained. So the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and stayed on Jesus. I've had the Holy Spirit come on me, but then, you know, there's a time where he lifts and it's like, okay, God, where are you? But Jesus learned to do this in a lifestyle. And sometimes we cross over those scriptures, those verses, and we just we pay no mind to them because there's no real reference point. How do you host the Holy Spirit? The best example I've heard was to imagine a dove is on your shoulder. How would you walk down these stairs? With every step with the dove in mind. And how we give host to the Holy Spirit is we do every step with him in mind. I think a good example of this hosting the Holy Spirit or being aware of heaven's reality towards earth is in Acts 3. You see Peter and John, they're on their way to church. And I think it's a good thing to note that they're not at church where they see the miracle happen. They're on the way to church. And they see this guy and he's begging for alms. And as he begins to reach out to them and try to get some money from them, they see him. And heaven's reality to that man wasn't that day it wasn't to give him silver and gold. It was to say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That was heaven's solution for that. And I think there's sometimes where we're trying to approach earthly issues with an earthly solution, but heaven has a solution for those issues. And for somebody who can't walk, it's to walk. Is that making sense to everybody? So in this thought process of harvest, I wanted to read from Matthew 9. I'll just start in verse 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed of the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So the gospel of the kingdom. Y'all can say the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and disease among them. Just a side note on this thing. You know, sometimes when you're studying scriptures, it's a good practice to see where something is always usually connected with other thoughts or other. For example, the gospel of the kingdom. If you look it up in the gospels, it's usually associated or very closely associated with healing all that were sick among them, casting out devils. Almost every reference that you can see to the kingdom of God or to the kingdom of heaven, you're going to see that close by. But when he saw the multitude that was the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Say, scattered abroad. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Everybody say, Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Notice Jesus' response. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He comes down and he starts saying, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Wherever you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change the way you think because the kingdom of heaven is within reach. And there's something about this idea, and I was connecting it just with some of the things that I have in my heart to see in my life. You know, some of the things that I wanted to do, whether it's a business or whether it's a finances or things that I have on my agenda, so to speak. And this morning I was kind of confronted with the idea of what's God's agenda? What's on God's heart to see done? I see your dream and this is kind of just my interaction with the Lord, but it was kind of like, well, man, that's an awesome dream, but can I share my heart with you? Will you make room for this? In Matthew 6, he says it this way, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." He's not slack concerning his promises. He's not slack concerning the things that he's told you. He's not even slack concerning the dreams that he's given you. I think it's amazing that he actually wrote those into his sovereign plan, the things that you and I actually dream of and think of and that are important to us. He put that in the plan. But he has a dream as well. And he has a priority as well. And I believe that he's saying that he has a priority of a harvest that needs to be brought forth and brought into the storehouses. He has a kingdom message that needs to be proclaimed in all the earth. He sees sickness that Jesus paid for that needs to be healed. He sees people living in torment that Jesus took the chastisement of our pieces upon him, and they living in torment. He wants the kingdom of God to become the kingdom of the earth, to become the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know he paid for that? The kingdoms of this earth are his. And he has an agenda. He has a dream to see these things, to see the nations discipled. And it confronted me, really. It confronted me because I had been really focused on some of the things that I really wanted to see happen. I was really aware of some of the things that I had on my checklist. And I wasn't really aware of what heaven's checklist was. And I don't mean it to make like a checklist. It's relational, right? It's very relational. And so I started reading, and I mentioned it earlier. But there's a, Acts 3 is just a great example. You know, they're on their way to church. They're going to go praise Jesus. They're going to do some good stuff, right? It's not bad stuff that they're going. They're on their way to church. But is it possible that the Lord can interrupt that thing that we're doing to cause us to step into something he has on his heart that actually brings healing and wholeness, that actually releases the kingdom of God? I say this from the perspective that when Jesus came, he revealed the Father perfectly. And that's amazing to me that he did that. And I can sit and applaud that he did miracles and that he healed the sick and he turned the water into wine and he walked on water, he calmed the seas with his voice. I can do all that and sit back and applaud. But how many know the kingdom is a participant sport? It's not a spectator sport. And so what this got me thinking was, okay, why am I not participating? And can I just be transparent a little bit about like how I'm processing, how the Lord's confronting me on this? Why is it that I'm not participating? Is it fear of failure? That's obviously a thing, right? What if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? I don't want to mess God's reputation up, right? Right? How do I explain that? For somebody dying of cancer, and I go and I pray, and nothing happens. I honestly don't have an explanation. I can't explain that, but what I can do is not lower the standard or lower the standard based on my experience. My experience can't dictate to me the standard that Jesus set. Every person that came to Jesus was healed. And so I can't make excuses. I may not be able to explain it. I may not have a good answer. But I can take that to the Lord and I can bring him this situation where if Jesus was there, that person would have walked away whole. And I can give him the trouble of my heart for that. I can give him all the pain on it. And then I can just tell him, Lord, I need more. I need more of you. I need more of you all over me to where the next time I go and pray, that person walks away whole. You see, faith is, I've heard this and I just love it. I'm going to make it my own. I don't know who said it first, but they were pretty awesome. I think it was John Wimber. In the kingdom, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Meaning if we're going to be a kingdom people, there are going to be some risks that we're going to have to take. And I know we don't like to talk about it like it's a risk, but it's kind of a risk to go up to somebody in the mall who doesn't, you don't know. You don't know if they love Jesus. You don't know if they're antichrist. And say, can I pray for you? Or I think I have a word for you. It's a risk. You could miss it. It happens. But that's not the point. I can't let that become a barrier for me to stop me from fulfilling what Jesus set as a standard for our lives. Jesus said it. He said, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. Well, how did the Father send Jesus? Jesus said in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to heal the brokenhearted, to set free the captives, to open the blind eyes. In that same way, in that same commission that he released over Jesus, he released in our lives. And we have a responsibility as citizens in this kingdom, as sons and daughters, to actually reveal that glory, to bring in a harvest, to bear fruit. I don't mean this to be like a real downer or anything. I just wanted to... I feel like it is. It's actually really fun, though, when you participate in the kingdom. It's super amazing to sit there and walk up to somebody and see the Holy Spirit come on them and their hearts touched by him. Somebody who's broken. Somebody who doesn't have anybody. Somebody dealing with torment that you didn't even know, and you just have this unction in the store, and you just say, hey man, I don't know, can I just pray for you? And you just see the look in their eye. One of the things that we do here, and I think the pastors do it really well, is they celebrate risk. They celebrate you stepping out. And we have to learn to do that. We have to learn to celebrate risk. If we get it wrong, okay. But you tried. You went for it. And that took faith. And that took courage. And sometimes you may have to go home, and I've had to do this, where I just went home and just said, Lord, I just celebrate that I had the courage to ask them. They told me no. But the Father has this heart. He so loved the world that he gave his son. And it wasn't so that we could just sit in church and just be homebodies and warm a pew. There is a mandate that we go out and we heal the sick and we live a lifestyle that is supernatural. And to be honest with you, outside of the healing and the miracles and there's really the whole lifestyle that we've been called to is supernatural. To love somebody well when it's not going well is supernatural. To honor somebody who's not honoring is supernatural. But there is more. There is more that we've been called to, and it's not reserved for the person that's up here speaking. It's not reserved for the prophet. It's not reserved for the apostle. They train the saints for the work of the ministry. And there's a grace and there's a Holy Spirit that's on you that wants on the outside. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be in you like rivers of living water. He's inside, but he wants outside. Let it flow. And I want to encourage you on this, that he has a heart to do this. The Bible says his heart is to give us the kingdom. He wants to release this healing over you so that whenever you touch somebody and cancer leaves and falls off, whenever you walk into the room, you know, there are things that we have been given in this kingdom that we have yet to explore. I reference this quite a bit just because it was just a really cool revelation for me. But, you know, when God revealed to Abraham his inheritance, he didn't let him just camp out in that one spot. He said, walk the length of it, walk the breadth of it. And what that tells me is just because we got a revelation doesn't mean we're to stay in that spot. There's actually some faith that takes steps to walk this thing out. And so getting a revelation that healing is for today is great, and we need that, and we need to have good doctrine. But if we're not walking out, actually activating this thing and exploring this kingdom that has been given to us, then we got seed in our pocket. Gosh, this sounded a lot more encouraging when I was thinking about it this morning. It really is, though. Because if we'll explore this kingdom, I think we'll see things happen in our lives that we never dreamed would even be possible. I think we'll see God, his nature, his ways, in ways we never thought he would even move on us or move in our lives with. We'll see a side of the Father's goodness that we just never dreamed of. And it'll probably mess with some of our theology. It'll probably mess with the way we understand this book here. But the Father wants to see schools transformed. The Father wants to see revival break out at Kroger. We know Walmart needs it, but we got to start somewhere, you know. Kingdom come, you know. There's something very convicting about somebody being around somebody in close proximity with somebody who's actually walking out this kingdom lifestyle, because it brings to light things that, oh man, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know if I can go and, you know, say this to somebody. But I want to tell you that the Father will provide. I think that's one of the reasons he said, you know, don't take any money with you, don't take this, don't take a staff, because provision was in the vision, if I can say it that way. He was going to provide. There was grace for courage. There's grace for revelation. There's grace to begin to hear things. And, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't, when I started trying to pray for people, just to be transparent, I started with the people I was least afraid of. So I started with people who I knew needed me, right? So I would go to people that were on the corner needing money, and I would keep me about $10 in there, and they would be like in my pocket, and they would be like, hey, can I get some money? And I'd be like, hey, can I pray for you? You know? Hey, yeah, get in however you need to, but find that. Find that starting ground and allow the Lord to begin to build courage, because before you know it, you'll be going into hospitals with an anointing to take out diabetes. You'll be going to the Christmas party at your family's and you'll just see demons scatter, right? Amen. For some of y'all praying for breakthrough for family members. There's hope. He's called us to change the world. I think that starts with us, right? Pastor Mike told me a long time ago. He said, that Bishop Jones had said this, but I like it. If you want to see revival in your city, draw a circle around yourself. Start there. And a lot of times, the revival you're looking for, or crying out for, or praying to God for, He's answering with you. He told His disciples to pray for the laborers, but then He called them and He sent them out as laborers. So a lot of times, He's going to use you to answer that prayer. So we can't say, send them to Maryland. Because when we're praying, send someone, Lord, I think He comes back and says, who am I sending? I want to see breakthrough in my life. I want to see breakthrough in those promises that we've prayed for. I want to see breakthrough in families. I want to see that. Now, the Lord wants to see that as well. But I wonder if we would submit those dreams, those desires, those things. And I'm not saying don't desire it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, I wonder if we were to submit that and chase after the Lord for His heart, for His dream for this city, for His dream for this community, for this house, and serve that in a way that we gave our whole heart to it. That as Jesus was moved with compassion at those that were scattered, that we would be moved with compassion at the Father's heart for those who are lost. To those who are broken, to those who are going through circumstances that are crushing, and bring the kingdom of heaven. I think that's what attracted me so much to when I came back to the Lord. I had grown up in a Pentecostal church, and I just never knew the Lord. It wasn't as attractive to me as a young man. But I tell you, one of the things that just stirred me to the most was I began to come back, and I wanted to pray, and I just had a passion for prayer. And I heard actually this one thing, and I had it in my heart, but I didn't know God was speaking to me. It was kingdom, heaven on earth. I had read the passage in Matthew 6, and it was just on my heart. I just didn't know. And I actually came to a Tribe of Judah meeting where Pastor Mike was talking about we could actually co-labor with God in prayer and see heaven on earth. And when he said it, my heart came alive because it wasn't church as normal. There's something so alive about seeing heaven on earth, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your health, whether it's in your neighbor's life, whether it's in relationships. But when heaven comes to earth, something comes alive in us, and life is released through us, because it's not just miracles created for us, but it's going to be miracles flowing through us, and the kingdom of heaven beginning to make an impact on the world around us. I want to tell you that the transformation for this nation is not found in a political party. It's going to be found in the kingdom of God. The transformation for this school, for this community, is not just going to be found in earthly solutions for earthly problems. It's going to be found for somebody tapping in to heaven's atmosphere and bringing a heavenly solution for earthly problems. It's interesting to me to read stories about Joseph, who's one of my favorite stories, Daniel. Under an old covenant, fathered a leader of a nation. Joseph told his family, you know, you meant this for evil, but God's made me a father to Pharaoh. The impact that he had on a nation. Under an old covenant. How much more with the precious blood of Jesus, we just took communion. How much more with the covenant that's a better promise, an everlasting covenant, can we impact the world around us with the Holy Spirit who's empowering us to do so? This is the cool part. We don't do it alone. I think sometimes we pray it a lot, and the point is missed when we say, Holy Spirit, come. We need him with us, just like Jesus needed him with him. And he gives the power. He provides the wisdom. He'll provide the strategy. He'll provide the grace for things to begin to shift. There were things that were going on. I can tell a testimony with my family, with just my sister, and how things turned around. There were some things that were going on that were just crazy, and things turned around with the solution that was given to my father. And we literally saw it within a couple days. That's the kingdom of God coming with solutions, wisdom. There's a harvest. We've heard prophecies about a billion soul harvest. Many prophets have spoke about it. And I want to position my heart, or say reposition my heart, to be open to see him bring me outside of my comfort zone or my daily tasks and serve his dream. I wonder what the Lord is asking each one of us, or wanting to reveal as a part of his heart, a part of his dream, that he wants to co-labor with us to see fruit fulfilled. Gosh, this really sounded encouraging. Gosh. So be encouraged. Like, that fixes it, huh? Be encouraged, though. Because when he sent his spirit, he provided everything that was needed to walk this out. And each one of us here are powerful citizens of a kingdom that's everlasting, that's above every kingdom in this world. And we serve a king that is above all kings. And he has resources that he wants to release over our lives that actually bring solutions to the problems around us. Whether that resource is wisdom on how this school gets ran. Whether it's wisdom on family matters. Or resources on finances. Or relationships. Or whether it's the power to say, rise up and walk to somebody who's crippled. And to see the power of God come on them and cause that person who was a victim become whole again. I don't think I have to make it exciting. It's exciting all in itself. We've been called to this. We've been destined for this. And the size of this commissioning, the size of this assignment that he's given us, can't be done without the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's just pray. We might need Pastor Latasha to pray for us. Get some joy in the house again. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for the gift of repentance. Lord, I thank you that it's not just for the sin. It's actually to shift us to a place of higher thinking. And Lord, I just ask that you would come with the gift of repentance in our hearts so that we can turn our heart to you and see the heart of the Father, to see how heaven wants to invade earth. Father, how heaven wants to invade every circumstance, every situation. Father, that your solutions will come, that breakthrough will come. Father, that there will be an anointing that comes upon each and every person to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to cleanse lepers, to set free the captives, to bring wisdom to the leaders of this world. Father, we thank you that the spirit of counsel will rest on them so that they will have the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding on how to move skillfully in this season. Father, I thank you today that you are sending out skillful labors. Father, I thank you today that there is courage rising up in the hearts of people. There will be a spirit of boldness that comes upon your people. And when they see that person like Peter and like John, they will fasten their eyes and they'll see kingdom come. They'll see the glory of God revealed. They'll have the authority and the power to say, arise and walk in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you today that there are strategies being released. There are kingdom strategies being released. Father, there is revelation on how you want to impact this city and impact this community. Father, I thank you that you're beginning to reveal dreams in this season of how your heart wants to impact the world around us. Father, I thank you today that there is a spirit of revelation in this season being released and an anointing to walk in wisdom and revelation in your kingdom. Father, I thank you today for joy in the going, and joy in the sending, and joy in the going out and being fishers of men. I thank you today that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be activated and working in our lives to bring forth and demonstrate the power of God. In Jesus' name.